If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode of Mind Pump, the world's top fitness, health, and entertainment podcast, we answer a lot of fitness and health questions that are asked by our audience, but the way we open the episode is by talking about current events. That's our 42-minute intro to this episode. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through the whole podcast, break it down for you, and kind of tell you what we talked about. So if you want to skip ahead or find your favorite parts, you can do that. So the intro part starts with us talking about Harvard's COVID-19 hotspot app. That's kind of cool. They show where the hotspots are and maybe places you want to avoid. Then we talk about a UK-based company that created an AI robots that zap weeds and may help eliminate the need for pesticides. Sounds like a great idea until they become Terminators.
Yeah, insect Terminators.
Then we talked about Life Aid's gym survey and how they talked about a decent chunk of people are saying that they'll probably never go back to the gym. That's kind of weird. I talk about a study on weightlifting and the brain. Believe it or not, lifting weights builds your brain before it builds your muscles. This is why Justin's so smart.
Yeah.
Then we talk about the ice cream museum and how it's melting.
MC Square.
I had no idea that there was an ice cream museum. Crazy. Then we talk about TikTok. TikTok is estimated to be worth about $105 billion. Then we talk about Magic Spoon cereal. We talk about how much our kids are enjoying it right now. Magic Spoon cereal is high protein, zero sugar cereal, but it comes in flavors that you enjoyed as a kid, like blueberry and chocolate and birthday cake flavor. No joke. Again, it's high protein and it's quality protein, whey protein, no sugar, put it in milk, eat it. Boom, you built some muscle. Anyway, Magic Spoon is a company we work with, so we have a discount for you. Here's how you get the automatic discount applied to your purchase. Go to magicspoon.com/mindpump and use the code mindpump when you purchase your product. Then we talked about Unsolved Mysteries, now on Netflix, which led us to talking about the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot.
Yeah,
two things we like.
Sasquatch.
Yeah, Sasquatch. Then I got into the fitness questions. We started answering these. Here was the first one. This person says, I got really good quad development, but my hamstrings are lagging. What should I do? The next question, this person says, look, you guys always talk about tracking your normal food intake to find your maintenance, but now you guys have a macro calculator that does that. Like, what's the deal? What's the difference? Is one way better than the other? The third question, this person is doing a lot of rock climbing. And American Ninja Warrior style training, wants to know how to add resistance training to improve their performance. And the final question, this person says, look, if I see people working out in the gym the wrong way, should I go up to them to say something or should I check my ego?
Yeah, tell them they're wrong. See how that goes.
Also, all month long, our workout program, MAPS Strong, is 50% off. So if you're very interested in developing real world functional strength, if you like to have fun while you work out with different types of exercises, if you really are concerned with developing your posterior chain, that's your hamstrings, your glutes, and your back, MAPS Strong is the program for you. It's exceptional. It's a lot of fun. It's home gym friendly. So if you only have barbells, dumbbells, and an adjustable bench and a squat rack, you can pretty much do the whole program. Again, that program's half off. Here's how you get the discount. Go to mapsstrong.com, that's MAPSSTRONG.com, and use the code STRONG50, that's STRONG50 for the discount.
Have you guys seen the Harvard's COVID-19 thing?
No, what?
It's like a heat map. It's cool. So they say everyone should check it out before you travel.
So it shows where there's like cases growing or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, and it just showed like through a heat map, right? So you can see where it's like, and seems like Alaska and like all your northern states are really, really green. A lot of the southern states are red.
Mm.
So, but it's got like a heat map of the entire United States and gives you kind of an idea if you're traveling or going somewhere.
Dude, I saw yesterday on Facebook an ad for a mask. Mm-hmm. It's clear.
Oh, I saw that.
So you could see through, which I think is brilliant because the thing about masks, you can't read people's facial expressions, whatever, so it's clear.
Yeah.
But it also uses UV technology to kill any viruses or bacteria that come in.
Wow.
So it's like this next generation mask or whatever. I could just foresee that being the thing. You know what I mean?
So speaking of UV, that's like technology cool. like that, that so have you guys seen these new AI? It's a UK-based company. It's a startup that are creating these robots that actually go, for agriculture, that go up and down like the rows of like strawberries and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And they use like UV lights to kill like certain pests.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what?
Yeah, and it even has the ability to tell the difference between the actual plant and weeds and can kill the weeds.
Oh, that's wow. brilliant.
Yes, and it says it can do the work up to like 10 to 20 men.
Instead of using all these chemicals and yes. everything, which is
instead of using chemicals.
Huge.
So it's yeah. just it's constantly going through the rows and sees it and then kills it, and so it's organic.
Fucking insect terminators.
Yeah.
That sucks.
No, we just don't want it to evolve, to bigger things.
I was just going to say, at some point, just remember you listen to it on Mind Pump first. I don't know when this is going to happen, but at some point, all these robots, AI robots, are going to be doing all this work for us. At some point, they're going to form a union.
Yeah.
And then they're going to strike.
It was funny because there was one in, I think it was in the UK too. There was like a full robot they were interviewing, and they turned it on and they didn't know what it was going to say or anything. And so it was like, it was trying to make jokes in with the people that are asking them questions. They're like, oh, should we be worried about, machines taking over and all this stuff? And it was like, oh, you shouldn't be worried. You're nice. I will remember that you are nice, and I will keep you in a human zoo and take real good care of you.
Wow.
And he's just like, whoa, great. That's real, like, makes me feel good. Yeah.
Turn it off. Turn that shit off.
Yeah, shut the system down.
Who was it IBM? I don't remember what company it was, but it had two AI like programs communicating with each other.
Oh yeah, and the robots started to learn so fast.
They created their own language.
Yeah.
And they were like, what are they saying to each other?
I actually thought that was a Facebook thing. I thought that happened.
Was it?
Yeah, I thought so. I can't remember what company, but I do remember that.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so weird. So did you guys ever watch, The Matrix is one of my favorite movies of all time. I think they did such a good job with it.
It's one of the best.
Did you ever watch the Animatrix?
Yeah, I did.
Have you seen those?
No.
So these are like...
I have friends.
sorry.
Yeah.
These are animated...
I nerd out sometimes, too.
Well, yes, your friends like this, too. You got two of them in the room.
Yeah.
These are animations of what happened that led up to The Matrix. Mm-hmm. And it was brilliant.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was really, really good. It shows the robots, becoming self-aware and then demanding that they be treated, as equals, just like a human would or whatever. And the people felt threatened by them, so they tried to destroy them. So the robots are all, we're going to go on our own island. Then the humans tried to nuke them, mm-hmm. and that's what started the whole war or whatever.
Yeah.
Really, really well made.
Do you guys think it's important that everybody should be thinking, like, no matter what career or position you hold or business you run, should be thinking about how AI is going to affect?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just every facet of industry is going to have some kind of impact from AI. And that's why I was so into that show forever. And there were so many different examples of it that I wanted to bring up, but it's just like, it just felt like it's too redundant. I'm like talking about it all the time now because that's what's moving forward so fast right now. And that's why I'm paying attention to it so much, because it just is going to have a massive impact on all these different industries.
Huge. And so this is just always how progress has happened, right? Somebody invents something and it puts the people out of business who can't compete with that, right? When cars got invented, wagon wheel makers had to figure something out, when when wristwatches were made, pocket watch makers kind of went out of business. This happens, and AI is going to do that as well. And so we just have to evolve and progress. But here's the one thing that I hate that gets communicated that I think is totally wrong. The whole
that'll be less jobs.
Well, yeah, we're all going to be unemployed because robots are going to do everything. So we have to pause for a second and consider that. Let's consider a future where robots do all of our work for us.
Sounds like utopia.
It does.
Oh, man.
I think the challenge is going to be figuring out how to find meaning in your life. I think we're going to have a bunch of people sitting around getting food and doing whatever.
I also think that's like an extreme example of AI, and I think that's the problem. Some people think AI, and they envision like this intelligent robot that is like a human-like.
Yeah.
Where, AI, like, for example, we're building towards AI in our business. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be this robot who's taking part of the job. It's just, it's going to make our ability to service our people that are listening and reading our content, it's a more sophisticated software that will help feed them the information that they want. It's not a robot that's going to take over a job.
Let me podcast, please.
Yeah. I was talking to one of my friends because he's like adamant, like automated, you know, driving or autonomous driving is never going to happen. It's never going to work. Like, I'm like, are you serious? Yeah. Like, they've already shown like signs that it can work. And not only that, he's just worried about, you know, like his industry and like he's in tires and all that kind of stuff. But I was watching that show again. They showed this whole trucking company that like all the truckers are upset, like, oh, it's going to take over our jobs. And no, they still need somebody in there to pilot it and teach it, because it's so far from being where it's going to be able to kind of drive by itself. They still need a human to teach it. Oh no, you stop here because this object really is going to like accelerate, you know, and then all these things that you predict already as a human being is way more than the machine has.
They'll learn. And there's going to be a look. I mean, go back 100 years, 150 years. How many of those jobs exist today, right? A small percentage. It's going to be like that in the future. And I can understand why that's kind of scary. You know, when I was a trainer, if they had invented a robot trainer that was actually really good, I would feel threatened too, right? But that's just, you know, things move forward. That's just the way things work. So,
did you see, speaking of gym and trainer
five
stuff,
smart ramps?
Did you see the article that Heather shared in our forum about somebody? It was actually Life Aid who actually put the survey on or the ran the study on people, and they surveyed like thousands of gym goers that go to the gym two or more times a week. Did you guys read this article?
No, what did it say?
Oh, okay. So it's something that we've been talking about for since COVID on like what we predict is going to happen afterwards. It says 25% or 24% of people say they'll never return to the gym.
What?
Wow. Yeah, a quarter. Yeah,
that's a lot.
It's a ton.
That's a business killer number.
So 25% will never return to the gym and will remain working out at home. And these are people that are like serious lifters. They didn't survey the, you know, weekend warrior or the in and out person.
We're just not going to do anything.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. They were looking at people that were going two times to the gym or more consistently for years and surveyed them. And 25% of them say they'll never go back. 40-something% of those people said they would keep their membership and slowly ease their way back in. And then some people said they'd go, and then I think it was like 30 or 40%, something like that would say that, obviously that math doesn't add up to 100, but it's a smaller percentage would go right away back to the gym regardless. So that's a big number.
It is. I foresee, because gyms for a long time have been kind of moving towards more independent, isolated type workouts. What I mean by that is when I first started working out, people wore headphones when they worked out, but not a lot of people. Most people listened to the music that was in the gym. People would talk to each other. Little by little, it became this like you're in your bubble, which is whatever. You know, people walk in.
Well, it's more commercial now.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about your era of starting lifting weights, it was very more cult-like.
You're right. The commercial aspect really was starting to take off.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about it, it's just like when you're into something that like a type of sport or whatever genre that nobody else is, you meet them and you're like, oh wow, you're into this too.
Yeah, band.
The gym used to be like that. Yeah. The gym just two decades ago, you walk in, you're like, oh wow, you're into working out too? I'm into working out. We're friends. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Where now it's like everybody recognizes the importance of exercise. Whether they do it or not, everybody understands the importance of it. And so it's been commercialized, and so when you get that, now it's less cult-like.
Now, do you guys think that this is going to result in less people exercising or more people exercising? So obviously the market's shifting, so more people are going to want to work out at home. Gyms are not going to be like they used to. They're going to be different, probably more expensive or more boutique. Do you think that's going to be
I think there may be an initial drop, later on, I think it might pick up based off, you know, what's out there and what's available for people to connect virtually in streaming services and things like that, to then pull a different type of community that's more virtual. I think that'll like enhance actually more people to exercise.
I think we're going to see it explode. I think that, think about part of the motivation behind the very first day we all got together and we talked about the fitness industry and space. There is definitely a stigma around us and our peers that is, you know, pretentious and, you know, self-absorbed, and all we care about is the way we look. Mm-hmm. And that turns off the majority. There's a big portion of people that would, if you were to survey them and ask them, do you think that you should be healthier, or would you like to be healthier, or would you like to take steps to be a healthier person, that would say yes. But then also, what do you think about gym culture and the fitness industry? And that would be turned off. I would bet there is a large proportion of people that are turned off by our industry, but also recognize that exercise and fitness is important. And this whole virtual, you know, mirrors and Pelotons and this at-home thing is going to introduce a lot more people that don't want to be around the pretentious dude in the stringer who's looking in the mirror the whole time.
You're not getting judged.
The girl in the booty shorts who's working out and intimidates you as a girl who's got 30, 40 extra pounds on you. I think it's going to really
I would love to see the analytics of Planet Fitness, because once they popped up, you know, I mean, that's what they really were addressing, was that part of the market that nobody was even, providing an answer for. That and it is true. Like, if you're working out at home, there is no judgment, there is none of that. It's just, how can I learn this most effectively and apply this, and you know, it's all about like the presentation of it, like when and how they can make that more accessible to people.
It is interesting though, right? Because you know, in our market, if in the gym market, I would say the goal should be, or supposed to be, that you're helping people improve their health. You're giving them a way to strengthen their bodies, you know, improve their mobility, feel better. So let's talk about a company like Planet Fitness, which obviously targets a high volume of people, cheap memberships, relying on most of them not showing up. That's just the model. It's the true model. If everybody who had a membership at Planet Fitness showed up, they'd have to shut the doors. They wouldn't have enough space.
Yep.
So what percentage of people do you think Planet Fitness is truly helping, in the sense of helping them improve their fitness and their health, build a good relationship with fitness? It might not be that great.
It's probably low.
Yeah, so I wonder if what's happening right now is just kind of cleaning out, you know, stuff in the fitness industry that's not really servicing people, you know, well. You know, it's not really providing. I'm sure there's people that go to a place like Planet. I know we're picking on them, but they're just the biggest of this. I'm sure there's people that go there that get lots of value and it's totally changed their lives. But I wonder what percentage they are of all of their member base. You know what I mean? It's got to be a small.
Well, I mean, it's probably similar to any gym though, right? I mean, do you think that's much different in Crunch or 24 Hour Fitness? Do you think that they're providing?
Sure, I think that would put them in the same category.
Yeah, right. You know? I think they're all providing. I mean, I openly admit my own, you know, stats on what success rate as a trainer. I was considered one of the best, and I definitely didn't get my clients that great results. The reality of it is there's multiple factors that have to come in. I mean, consistency, adherence to whatever program or diet.
Sustainability.
Sustainability, a desire to do it. Like, there's so many other factors that would make somebody really successful in their health and fitness journey. And even hiring me as a professional doesn't mean that I could give you all the answers to the test, but doesn't mean that you're going to actually pass the test.
I see this as a huge opportunity for entrepreneur personal trainers, because I remember when I was a trainer, one of the a market that trainers constantly were trying to penetrate was being able to train clients at their home. Every trainer that I ever worked with that went on and worked on their own at one point or another thought that would be a great idea. I'm going to go train people at the house. Mm-hmm. I'll get, you know, paid a premium. I'll provide them amazing service. That market just wasn't that big. Some people did well. Most people didn't do well doing that. But that market's going to explode now.
If I was a trainer right now, I would totally be looking into ways to broadcast myself, you know, either by teaching multiple people at once in a live streaming type of a situation of a class, or one-to-one, but being able to be on somebody's television, or what was that Facebook app that you had, or the camera that they had
Just Portal.
So it was like FaceTime, but it was like more you know, you could see from all the different angles and you could talk with them and moves with them. So
I had a buddy that he went
I would go all in on that.
He went off to be a trainer on his own, and his idea was, and I've heard other trainers do this too, he got a truck, and in the back of the truck, he would take with him basic equipment, adjustable dumbbells, kettlebells.
Yeah, that too. 100%.
And he would travel to clients' homes.
Yeah, I did that.
Anyway, he ended up switching out of that because that market at the time wasn't huge. It just wasn't a big market, but I bet you that's going to explode now.
100%.
Well, I would use the shit out of you guys. That's what I would do.
What do you mean?
I mean, I would do what we're already trying to do ourselves, but I would only focus on that. Like, okay, I would start servicing clients virtually, and I would use all the content that we've created
for free
as my resource.
Oh, if you're a trainer and you're not using if you're not using all the free mind pump stuff for your business, you're an idiot.
I mean, you could literally go to our website or go to our app and search almost every I mean, God, by now we've covered damn near every topic that a trainer, at least 95% of the conversations a trainer will have to have with a client at one point, by all the questions that we've answered, all the guides and blogs and white papers that, and then of course the programs, right? Between and YouTube videos, as far as demos and exercises, I mean, I would literally build my business around using all the content that we've provided for free.
You should do that.
I think the trainers that don't are silly, because it's the same trainers I remember that would work for me that allowed their ego to get in the way. Like, they were so concerned about, oh, I don't want to introduce my clients to other trainers that might be more knowledgeable or better than I am, in fear that I would lose business.
What a paradigm shattering what a paradigm shattering moment that was for me as a trainer, realizing that when I was the go-to person that could direct my clients to people who knew more than I did, they loved me for it. The value I brought them was tremendous, because initially you do have that, like, oh man, I want to have the answer. I don't want to send you to the chiropractor or the physical therapist or to whatever. But eventually I said, no, this is better for the client. Let me just do this and see what happens. Way more valuable. Then my clients came to me for everything. Hey, Sal, do you know a guy that does this? Or, hey, do you know someone I could talk to you about gut health? And, oh yeah, I do have somebody. And I would just point them in that direction, and they stayed with me forever as a result of that. Speaking of weightlifting, more great news about the effects of resistance training that are unique to resistance training. I do sincerely think that we are on the cusp of resistance training going mainstream. I really do, because the studies are coming out showing its unique benefit in comparison to other forms of exercise. So researchers just found something that we've all speculated and talked about, that weight training changes the brain in unique ways before it even affects the muscles. So what they found in this study, and they did this to mice, was that weightlifting strengthens the nervous system through a motor tract called the reticulospinal tract weeks before any muscle is added. And so they theorized in this particular study that for stroke victims, for people who have movement issues, for people as they age, weight training or weightlifting should be the primary form of exercise, because it works the brain and the central nervous system in ways that we had no idea, in far superior ways to other forms of exercise and activity.
The central nervous system, you know, by itself was one of those things that I never even really considered that aspect of it until I really got further into strength and conditioning and, you know, how to improve my output. And that was one of those things, I don't think people really consider how to the whole process it takes for muscle recruitment and you know, that neuromuscular connection. Like, it's a piece of training that isn't as sexy, and it's a little bit more scientific, and so it's not out there in mainstream quite as much, but it's such a valuable part of the experience.
I was the same way too, Justin. Like, I avoided that conversation with clients for most of my career, just because it seems so nuanced to me. That's why I love when we all first got together and I heard Sal use the analogy of the amplifier and the speakers, because to me, and we're always looking for this, right? And the really sciencey, nerdy people, you know, scoff at that. Oh, it's way more nuanced than that.
Yeah, but it communicates it right away.
Exactly. Yeah. And that to me is what I'm always looking for, is how do I take something that I know is very nuanced and detailed, and there's lots of variables, but then how do I get the message across?
Right. Without losing them.
Right. Yeah. To the average client, to understand the value and the importance of what I'm talking about without, you know, talking over their head their entire time just to sound smart.
When you lose strength, when you lose muscle, when you lose movement, you're not just losing the dumb part of the body, which would be your muscle, strength, and movement. You're also losing, just like the muscle, just like you see a muscle shrink, all that power source that tells you the muscles what to do, that complex system that communicates to the body, also atrophies. It also starts to go away. And resistance training by far is the best, because it's easily the most complex. I can move in all kinds of different directions. I can be very individual to the person. Now, all movement helps, but most movement, aside from resistance training, is repetitive. Mm-hmm. Walking, eventually you learn the walk, and you walk. Cycling, swimming. But when you lift weights, It's squatting, it's rowing, it's twisting, it's pressing, it's curling, it's you know, lunging, it's doing, I mean, I could obviously sit here and name about 1,001 different movements and 100 different ways of doing each of them. It's very complex, and it develops the central nervous system. As a person who's aging, or the average person in America in terms for health, besides the fat burning and metabolism boosting effects, it's that strengthening the brain and the central nervous system's connection to the body, tremendous value. Because I've trained a lot of old people, and I'll tell you, it's not the loss of muscle that's the big problem. It's the loss of connection to that muscle, the loss of balance. And then what ends up happening downstream is you lose cognitive ability, cognitive function. And this helps support it. So it's going much more mainstream. I think we're probably 10 years away, maybe 5 to 10 years away from doctors saying the first thing that that a person should do for exercise is weightlifting or lifting weights. I think we're about 5 to 10 years away from that.
Well, if we are, you're going to look like a genius by releasing your book right before it.
Well, that's the idea, right?
I mean, so we're working our way up to that. Yeah,
that's I'm rooting for you, bro, for sure.
That's the goal. Yeah. Hey, on a different note, I get a lot of DMs from people who are asking, because, you know, sometimes we talk about our investments and stock and stuff like that. You guys get those messages too?
Well, yeah. I think it's important, too, to address something that we brought up maybe, I don't know, 3 to 6 months ago, as we were really considering making a portion of the show where we talked about stock investments, and we brought you have family and friends, Sal, that are in that industry, and we thought, oh, this will be great. We'll have them come on the show for 5 or 10 minutes, give people and the reason why we didn't, for those that don't know that have asked, because I've got a lot of DMs like, when are you guys gonna do that, or how come you guys don't? Well, I thought you were gonna talk about stocks. The regulations in that industry are ridiculous, and we were going to have to, you know, pre-record, send it over to get approval, and it was like, and we just didn't. We can't do that. We operate on the fly because we do so many episodes a week that it would totally stifle the rest of the show just to add, you know, this 5 minute or 15 minute portion of stocks. And so I like the idea of just letting people know, first of all, I am by far no expert in that space.
We're fitness experts,
right?
So, but we like to do other stuff, so we talk about it. But it's not advice. We're not telling you what to do. We could tell you what we're doing,
right?
And you know, we try to educate ourselves, but we're not experts in this.
Well, I think for the most part, most of the stocks that we're invested in together, right? So Mind Pump does this, right? So Mind Pump has a branch that's Mind Pump Investments, where we look at stocks that we're all interested in. And I think for us, it's we're scratching our own itch of just interested in that space more than anything else. We're not leveraging hard in that. It's more almost play and fun. Mm-hmm. But we stay, and like Sal said, I think we all try and do our own homework, and we all come together and present, hey, I've been watching this stock, or I heard this, or I heard that. And then we all kind of talk about it. And most of the stocks I'd say we're investing in are in our lane, right? They're
we tried to do that, to try and keep a lot of them like somewhat, like we know these companies and they're somewhat related to the fitness industry or you know, something that we know individually. So yeah, we've tried to at least do that.
One of the best pieces of advice I ever got about investing in stock was to invest in things that are in your lane, because not necessarily because you know better about those investments. That's part of it. But the other part of it was, you're more likely to ride the ups and downs because you know your industry. So like, for example, when this COVID thing started going down and we saw gyms shutting down, Mind Pump, you know, on the side, this is our own investments, said, hey, let's invest in companies that deliver fitness at home because we know our business. We know our industry. Now, we know our industry so much that we could watch those stocks dip and come up, but we're not worried. We see the direction, right? We see where it's going. I did this a long time ago with cannabis stocks. I had done so much research on the science that I knew, oh, this is going to go well at some point. So it allowed me to ride the ups and downs. And so that's some of the stuff that we do. So like, we invested in Peloton was one of them, because they're at home to, you know, fitness. Recently, here's another piece of good advice. When people are panicking, there's typically an opportunity. So when you see people freaking out, like, okay, how are people going to react to that? So you know, we made some investments with that as well. Spotify was one we didn't do. We should have. Adam was really on on that one when Rogan moved over.
Way early I was on that one. I wish we would have done that. So that was a miss. HubSpot, another one. So that's we think is one of the most robust CRMs, since almost every business is online or moving that way, and it's a platform that allows people to track algorithms and to create subcategories of your audience and be able to really market to them individually.
And so many businesses are online. I just can't see that. But
yeah, and it's one. And there's competitors to it, but it's one of the robust ones out there. And we've been using it now for quite some time. And You know, we believed in that, bought in that quite some time ago and early. So, yeah, there's some things like that that I think that...
We did Fitbit because we saw the, again, the at-home fitness and stuff like
right.
that.
And so. And they're one of those companies, it's just a solid company that's been through, you know, decades already in the wearable space and the technology space. So I'm looking at companies that are actual tech companies that are trying to provide services for fitness and health related things.
Now, speaking of Fitbit, what's going on with the, you sent something over about the EU waiting.
So last year, Google attempted or did, and this is where I need to get some clarity, to purchase Fitbit for $2.1 billion. Now, I was under the impression that it was all said and done, but I got a client friend of mine sent me over an article saying that the SEC has yet to fully approve that, and it's due by July 20th. So this month, what, 2 weeks?
Now, what is it? Is it because they're afraid they're going to have too much data and too much power?
I don't know. So that's where I need to do a little more homework. I was under the impression that Google has already purchased them.
I know.
And
I thought it was already a done deal.
Which was part of the reason why we had invested them back when. So I didn't know that the SEC hadn't fully approved it. Now, is the only reason why, as far as I know, why this is not our expertise, isn't it like they're afraid it'd be a monopoly or something like that? And those, why there's the SEC or like what would cause the SEC to say hold until something gets approved?
This is my speculation. I haven't looked deep into it, but there are laws that are in that category of preventing monopolies or whatever. That's in my speculation. I think that's what they're trying to use because Google already has so much analytics on people.
Like everything.
And then Fitbit has tons of analytics. And if you combine the two, what would that potentially create? You know what I mean? Like now they're going to know where you're at and what you're saying and what, you know what I mean?
All this stuff. Your heart rate.
Your heart rate. And think about
how often you're moving.
Yeah. And GPS on you.
Yeah. Do you think about that
for
a second?
Your patterns of where you move, what you do.
Think about it. You're wearing a Fitbit, right? So it's measuring your heart rate. Google owns them. You see an ad. Now they can start to correlate heart rate with advertisements and figure out, wait, this works, this doesn't work.
Like, oh, they're excited.
Yeah, heart rate variability. Like, it could get really specific. Maybe it's something like that. I don't know.
That'd be interesting.
That's also what makes it really cool, though.
I know, right?
So, I mean, that's why I think it was such a good buy and why I think that was such a smart move on Google. So I wonder if you're right. Doug, are you
researching? Well, I mean, what do you think Apple's doing with their Apple Watch? You know, like, this is all part of that long-term strategy of trying to get even further into people's everyday habits in lifestyle.
Dude, how crazy is advertising going to be? You know what I mean? I'm going to read an ad and be like, Sal, your nonna would have loved this. I'm like, oh shit, my grandma? How'd they know she would have liked that?
I know, you know, speaking of businesses and stuff, you guys are familiar with the Ice Cream Museum, right?
Yes.
The what?
Is that in San Francisco?
Yes, in San Francisco.
Ice Cream Museum?
Tell me, your kids definitely know what it is.
No, I've never done that.
Everybody, you've never seen those pictures like people posted on Instagram where they're like in these specific rooms and they're, you know, in these.
What?
What like, the hell's wrong with me?
Oh, your kids would love it.
Yeah.
I mean, right now with COVID. So why I'm bringing it up. So it was a startup company in 2016 by a 24-year-old girl. By the time I think she was, so 2 years later, 2018 or 2019, 18 or 19, she got $40 million invested in her.
Whew.
So yeah, VC came over, said it was this brilliant concept. And really all it is it's a place that you can get ice cream, but it's really centered around taking photos on Instagram.
Yeah, like taking pictures of it.
It's like you take a tour through this, museum, and it's lighting is perfect. It's like these three-dimensional type rooms where you can have like, you know, you could swim in a bed of sprinkles, you know, you can swing in a cotton candy cloud. You can do all these like things that look really cool on Instagram.
Oh my God.
And it did really well. I don't know if it did well enough to, get 40 million. But so anyways, the point of me bringing it up is like, I was reading Forbes this morning and they say like the ice cream museum is melting. Like, so it's tanking, of course, with COVID.
Nobody can go there.
Yeah. But it's not just that. So that's, and this is what's interesting about what I'm seeing right now with COVID is, you know, we're blaming COVID for a lot of these business failures. But what it's really doing is exposing a lot of business that may not have been operating really, really tight.
In many cases, yep. So well. I would agree.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, when you think about it, a company that's being ran really well, and this is not,
this is not true for all of them, right?
Right, and this is not me saying taking a knock at people that have been hurt by COVID. I have total empathy for everybody. I mean, this is a shitty, tough situation for everybody right now, or for the most part. But, you know, a lot of of people are getting woke up right now that, oh shit, you know, what if revenue didn't come like it would?
You have to have savings right. in mind. Yeah.
And I should be operating like that, you know. And by the way, a good book for you to read, you know, when it comes to like scaling a business and keeping things like this in mind is Rework, which is the creators of Basecamp. And, you know, it really helped me during our time of evaluating, like bringing on more staff. Like you get to a point where you think you should just start hiring and bringing people on and really reevaluating that before you decide to make that move and just throw money at a person. They had a layoff, so this over 200 employees. But what everyone's saying is, like, I guess, you know, it's being ran by like a 26-year-old.
Yeah.
So she like berates people. Like,
oh, so she's not.
Yeah.
She's not good.
She's not a great leader.
Interesting.
And so, of course, because of all this, it's all coming out. And so this business is starting to take. I mean, in 4 years' time, it hasn't even done a total of $10 million, yet it got $40 million VC money. So be interesting. And it's what I'm curious about is a lot of these companies that are riding the hype train of like social media and the TikTok game and like.
Doesn't it remind you of like when you used to walk on the boardwalk and there was like a cardboard painting cut out and like people put their head through and they're like, yeah, this is awesome.
Yeah.
That's like what that business model is to me.
Well, they value TikTok at between $105 and $110 billion, yeah, which is the largest startup in the world. And it's TikTok. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, I look at it and I go like,
it's got the users.
Yeah.
I know, but what user, the types of users it has, why they're on there.
Well, why it's so successful, and this is, and I've been trying to scratch my brain around this whole thing too, because it's just like, it's so annoying. They make it easy to follow and do content. Like, they don't have to come up with content. They just have to do what the trends are.
So are you guys familiar with Koji yet? Koji?
No.
Okay, so.
Yes, the meme generator.
So
yes.
This is my prediction is this is the next big TikTok, Instagram, whatever that's coming.
I totally agree.
And if you believe in what you just said right now is the reason why TikTok is so huge is because they make it so easy to use already creative content and repurpose it for yourself. There's a company that's specializing in memes and games.
Oh, that's brilliant.
To do that exact same thing.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Is to use already
It's gonna blow up.
Creative content and make it easy. Dude. You know, the other thing I heard about TikTok too is that the way the algorithm work is so different than YouTube and Instagram, those, and it makes it easy for people to get views and likes and attention. So that's why so many people gravitate towards it.
Because they get a lot of attention.
Yeah, because you get a ton. Like, it's not a big deal. You know who did a great spoof on that was, what's his name? Dom Mazzetti or whatever.
Oh, I know. The comedian. Oh, yeah.
He did a funny video like a week ago on how TikTok, he breaks it down.
I don't trust TikTok. I won't let my kids on it. It was a Chinese-owned company.
It is Chinese-owned, yeah.
I don't trust that at all because, of course, under the Chinese government, communist
state-run.
It's state-run. Yeah. So you don't think they're going to use all this data?
Look at Huawei. And here's the thing, like, it's so funny to me because like it's just because it's so popular. Everybody just went crazy with it. But remember when we were all like changing our face to look old and then found out it was a Russian, hack that like they built this literally to just steal everybody's data.
Images and data?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I say no to that.
You know, the new crime out there. Like, it's so more sophisticated than we even know. They're making it like this is entertaining. This is awesome. This is like it's something you actually want to use.
It's like fishing, but
they're stealing.
It's way more complicated than
it's
fishing.
Like, it's insane. Yeah, like, they're way beyond us.
Did you guys see my son's big ass bowl of cereal yesterday?
No.
He got the blueberry magic spoon.
Oh, he's the one that ate all of it.
I saw the empty box in the trash.
Yeah, so. I had one like half bowl the other day. So,
I love it. I love it.
He's responsible.
I love it when I see him eat it because I'm like, protein. Oh. Eat the protein. It's good for you.
Dude, so I got some for you guys. So they just sent an email out and they were like trying to like put, because here's the thing, they've covered a lot of ground already with their flavors, but they're starting to ask the community now, like, what do you guys want to see like coming up in the future? And there was like some of them there like putting out there as examples, and I want to see which one you guys would probably pick out of these options.
Let me hear
flavors.
So one of them's apple cinnamon.
Okay,
that's good.
You got cookies and cream.
Okay,
you got banana nut, you got chocolate peanut, you got plain. I don't know what plain means. Ooh, it tastes plain.
Like Chex, you know, like the plain Chex or whatever.
Oh, like wheat kind of. Yeah. Okay. And then you got strawberry shortcake and you got donut.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The one
that was interesting.
What was the first one again? The very first one?
Apple cinnamon, I think.
Yeah, I think apple cinnamon.
Apple cinnamon sounds...
I liked Apple Jacks.
Yes, so did I. I like the cookies and cream might be interesting.
I like chocolate peanut.
Have you had a cookies and cream cereal before?
I haven't.
Neither have I.
But, you know, with milk, cookies and cream kind of goes together, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
It's like
ice cream.
No, Apple Jacks was good cereal when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites.
Yeah, I don't know about the rest of them.
Yeah. Cookies and cream is interesting. Like, I wouldn't have thought that would be an option.
Dude, they're blowing it out. They're no sugar. And they're making, you know, my kid's eating it after he was done. He's like, that's pretty good. I'm like, there was no sugar in that.
No,
that was protein that you ate.
I would say of the partners that we have and that we've brought on, like, we're always trying to introduce our audience to new companies. I would say of this last quarter of companies that we've talked about or brought on board, Magic Spoon is for sure the one that's exploding.
Well, I mean, have you seen other high protein competitors? No. It's like 6 grams of protein.
Well, I mean,
that's
why we all. I think why we got excited about it was just like an option that actually I would have. I mean, this is something I love it today, but I really would have went bananas over it when I was like competing and stuff.
Oh,
I know. Because it's like such a treat to me, and to be able to with something that's so macro friendly like that and. Oh no, I'm a huge fan,
dude. Did you what'd you think of Unsolved Mysteries last night, Justin? Did you watch any of those?
No, I didn't watch. I heard you guys watch. Katrina and I were she beat me in cards last night.
It was
I saw the score.
She came in all braggadocious.
Oh my god, first time ever, right? Like that's like my.
She's like, ask Adam about the last few games.
I went to go eat breakfast this morning. Sat at the table and there was like a notepad and it had a score on it. Adam, Katrina, underneath it said, "Win real big, winner, Katrina." Yeah, that's what you get. I bet you talk hella shit when you beat her.
That's it, man.
I do talk.
She throws it.
She doesn't normally play, so she's been giving me. She's been razzing me because I've been kind of razzing you guys and everybody else. Like, man, I really want. Like, if we come up here as a tradition every year, I really want to get everybody into cards. I love playing cards, and it's such a great pastime for like camping and trips like this.
Yeah, I agree.
And so I really want to get everybody to play, and so we can all get into some competitive games. And I've always tried to get Katrina to play, and she's like, "Eh, I don't want to." And so she always says, "Like, you tell people I can't play. I can play." So she was talking shit to me last night, like, "All right, let's play." And I'm like, "Okay, let's. What do you want to play?" And she's like, "We'll play some Jim Rummy." I'm like, "All right, cool. I like Rummy. Let's play." And she got me. She got me last night. And she never wins at cards. Like, I win. But we normally play hearts and spades, which that's my game.
Yeah.
And we played Rummy last night. And she
took you out.
Yeah. She took
you out. Well, dude, you missed Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah.
We picked the UFO episode.
We did. Yeah, we skipped.
I'm going to be honest. It creeps me out just as much today as it did when I was a kid.
It was creepy. You know what? A big element that was missing, though, was the narrator guy.
What's that guy's name?
The voice, right?
I don't know, but he was, like, essential for me.
He was, dude. But the music, as soon as it starts,
skip the intro.
I got the old chills that I used to. When I was a kid, I loved scary stuff, even though it terrified me. Like, it was a weird thing that I would do. So I'd watch Unsolved Mysteries.
Well, like folklore, you know, like people that actually experienced things that were like weird, bizarre, scary.
Dude, you and I are the same on this.
Yeah.
Bigfoot, Loch Ness Monster, UFOs, that kind of stuff.
I have some info of that. So, January, they just. Like there's new video for Loch Ness Monster for Nessie again as of January.
New video?
Yes. Yeah. And I was trying to bring this up the last few podcasts. I forgot. But
better
like,
be good quality.
But like in my area, you know that Nextdoor app where everybody's on there, like all your neighbors and whatnot. So there was a few people that were posting about, you know, these low growl noises and smashing of trees, like snapping of big trees. In their area, and so everybody immediately are like, "Oh, Sasquatch!" You know, and it's funny because there's literally a building in Felton where I live that's devoted to Bigfoot sightings, and like you can buy paraphernalia there and everything, and like it's like a big thing. Lots of people think they've seen Bigfoot.
So scale 1 to 10, what did you guys think? I mean,
of the one that we saw?
Yeah, the show.
I'd say like a 7.
Yeah, I'd say 7, 8. If it had the narrator, it would have been a home run. But I missed that guy for sure.
I want to see more episodes and see how, you know, the rest of it plays out. But I mean, I like it. It does give you the feels like you used to.
This one covered a UFO. I forgot where it was, this UFO story. But you had so many witnesses through so many different parts of this town.
And it was all linear. It was like in this progression that went from, you know, the top of the map all the way down, hit all these like same cities.
People getting abducted. And so here's the thing with UFOs that's kind of, I mean, I love that kind of stuff, right? You ever read these conspiracy theories of how they say that governments have known about alien visitations and stuff for a long time, and that some governments actually work with these extraterrestrials,
right? And that's how we've advanced because we've just taken their their technology, and then that's how we've implemented like phones and all this stuff and progressed.
Dude,
yeah,
I love it.
You've reverse engineered a lot of it.
You know, we might need to come together right now as a world and a country. Yeah. We might need an alien
Independence
invasion.
Day.
That's what this is all leading to. So I'm telling you.
You know how, perfect timing.
You know how quickly everybody would forget everything.
Yeah,
like everybody's pissed off and yelling
now,
at each other.
Now, are your kids too young? Did they watch that show? Maybe we should watch that tonight.
Independence Day.
Yeah, yeah. She could pull out Independence Day. That's such a classic.
Oh yeah, that was a good movie. Yeah, we should watch
that. I'm trying to think. Is that scary?
No, not really.
Nah.
We'll know.
One
afterward.
Part.
Well,
when the alien we'll jumps out later. And he's still alive or whatever.
Yeah.
When he punches him in the face.
No, when the alien kills the dude when they're trapped in the cell, and then he uses his little tentacles to communicate through the person.
Well, my youngest might be a little, but yeah.
He just covers face, or do what my dad used to do, which is fast forward the dirty parts. You know, even though I could see it because it was VHS. I saw a boob, Dad.
Hey, nipples.
This quaz brought to you by Organifi. For those days you fall short on getting your organic veggies or whole food nutrition, Organifi fills the gap with laboratory-tested, certified organic superfoods to help give your health and performance the added edge. Try Organifi totally risk-free for 60 days by going to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And use the coupon code MINDPUMP for 20% off at checkout.
First question is from Jamilia144. I have really good quad development, but my hamstrings are lagging a bit behind. What are some exercises or strategies to increase my hamstring size and strength?
Yeah, two things you can do to work on weak body parts. Number one, learn how to prime your individual body properly. So if you have MAPS Prime, take the test, the compass test. Actually, we have a free webinar. What's the webinar, Doug, that people can go to? Is it
MapsPrimeWebinar.com.
There you go. Go there. It's free. Watch those assessments and figure out how to prime your body. That'll help you activate all your muscles in the most effective way possible. Here's a second thing. This is super easy. Work your hamstrings at the beginning of your workout. Mm-hmm. Before you do squats, before you do
such good advice
lunges.
Because it's rarely ever, who do you ever see go, unless they're deadlifting, right? You might see someone start with deadlifting, but rarely ever do you see someone start with like hamstring specific exercises.
That's
first.
It. That's all you got to do. I used to do this with my female clients all the time because oftentimes my female clients really wanted well-developed posterior chain. So on our workouts, that's how I would start. We would start with leg curl, stiff-legged deadlift, one-legged toe touch, hip thrust. Then we would go into our barbell squats and lunges and that kind of stuff. And it worked like magic.
Yeah, isn't that also like the body prioritizes like what kind of work you present it, mm-hmm. you know, in the beginning of the workout, more so than the end of the workout. So that would be something to consider.
I also like pre-exhaust strategies, which is similar to what you're alluding to right now. So I would go do... You know, let's say it's leg day and I might prime or do some leg curls first mm-hmm. and then go into my squats. And so you're going to feel like hamstrings rarely are the muscle that gives out in squats, right? It's normally quads or glutes are mm-hmm. what's going to fail before anything else. And so a lot of people don't realize, I mean, your hamstrings, especially when you go deep squats, my hamstrings always get sore. If I could just do heavy squats and real deep full range motion and my mm-hmm. hamstrings will get sore too. And that's without pre-exhausting them. So if you really want to feel them or get them, like you can feel afterwards really sore from it, is do a pre-exhaust exercise that's hamstring, like an isolation exercise, like lying leg curls or any sort of leg curl type of exercise, and then go into that. The other thing is good mornings, dude.
Yeah, mm-hmm. great exercise.
Good mornings are such a great exercise. You can load it because you're putting it on your back. And that's just it. The machine exercises for hamstrings, the single leg curl, the seated leg curl, the lying leg curl,
they pale in comparison.
They do. You can only load them so much. And I've shared the story on this podcast multiple times of how much it blew my mind when I completely eliminated all hamstring machines for like 6+ months, and all I did was like deadlift variations and good mornings and things like that. And then when I went back to a lying leg curl, I had like 2-3x'd my weight on that machine, which I had not even done it. It just shows you how much it developed my hamstrings from doing those movements.
I think there's a lot of challenge too, because sometimes people think, well, if I work my hamstrings first, I'm not going to be able to squat as much. And I know that squats are such a great exercise. You know, this happened years ago to one of my clients. He really wanted to develop his shoulders. That was one of his weak body parts. So what we did is we would hit shoulders before we go into exercises like bench press. Now he was like worried, oh, my bench press is going to go down. So yeah, of course, because your shoulder's going to be fatigued, but we're going to lift up that weak body part. And sure enough, that's what happened. His delts got more developed because we worked the shoulders first. Then we went into bench press. Yes, he was weaker, but that's okay. He got what he wanted. Eventually, later on, he started with his bench press at the beginning of the workout again, and he was stronger than he ever was before. So you're not going to be able to squat as much because you're doing your hamstring exercises first, but that's okay. Right now, you're identifying a body part that seems to be lagging or maybe not as strong or just not developing as quickly as other body parts. By the way, the sooner you address this, the better. If you wait a long time, then it's going to take longer for you to catch up to your weak body part. Then you may have to work hamstrings at the beginning of your workout for the next 2 years just to catch up to your quad. So I'd say start doing that now. Start your workout with that. Good priming. Then move into your compound, you know, exercise that works the quads and give yourself some time and watch what happens.
Next question is from CDT T. Young. You guys have always talked about tracking normal food intake to find maintenance, but you have begun promoting a formula type approach. What is the difference between your formula and others you seem to bash in the past?
It's so funny when people come at it like this.
Yeah, no. Okay, so I'm assuming they're referring to macros. Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Totally.
Okay, so it's an important part of getting to the point where you can then eat healthy and not stress over food and a more intuitive, I would say.
That's always the
approach.
Goal.
Yeah. That's the goal. But in order to get there, you have to
track.
You have to learn the most important things or the big rocks first, which are proteins, fats, carbs, and calories. Now, they're not the only thing. I mean, if you get stuck there forever, you're going to be stressed out about your diet. You'll be neurotic.
Yeah.
It's not going to work long term. But to get to the point you want to get to, that's a great place to start. You got to learn these things before you
educate yourself.
It just works.
Well,
it just
they're coming from a place. So we talk about this in the show a lot, right? And I stand by this still. The most ideal way to figure out your maintenance calories is for you to be very consistent with your movement through the week. So either use a tracker like a Fitbit or stay consistent with your types of workouts that you're doing as far as calorie expenditure and moving. So you're trying to keep that as controlled as possible. And then track your food. And the goal is to stay the same in your weight for about a week or two. That is the perfect world. That's even better than this macro calculator that we built. But the reality is that we still get tons of emails and DMs of people, where do I start? Like, I have no clue. And could you tell me how many grams of protein? And so it really is to help service people. It's not us saying that this is now the way to do it. And we now everything that we said in the past is no longer true. It's just more good information that we're trying to provide for people. This is not a matter of, oh, we bashed this way of figuring out calories and macros by other people. And then now all of a sudden we're now pointing people in that direction. No, we're providing a service to help those people that are absolutely clueless on where to start and maybe don't have the discipline to start tracking themselves for 2 weeks and to tease out all the variables that we're talking about. But that would be the best way to still do it. This at least gives them some starting point.
Yeah, this isn't there to try and figure out how to fit in your Pop-Tarts in your meal planning. You know, like it's still like those values still exist with what we bring up, like that we had poked holes and had problems with, you know, the flexible dieting, the IIFYM type of mentality, which still we said has value in trying to figure out how to structure and how to maintain structure with your planning of your meals throughout the week. It's just like, you know, people can abuse that by then trying to fit all these like processed foods in there and like comfort foods and things that they really like, you know, like need in their diet. Also, like it's a step. It's a stepping stone that leads you into educating yourself even further and having a deeper understanding of nutrition, what really benefits you. So it's just a value for you to use.
And it's free.
Yeah.
You know, see, most people, there's people that have built apps around this and charge for this service. And we built this massive pillar page, which took a ton of resources and time to build for everybody. And it's 100% free. There's no gimmicks to it. Like, use it if you want to and if it helps you. Otherwise, do what we've been telling everyone to do for a very long time. So if you're the person who's asking this question and you've already figured out your maintenance calories and you're an intuitive eater, you don't need that. This resource is to help millions of other people, or also work as a place for people to find Mind Pump. Like, so that to give you a little bit of business understanding of why we would do something like this, that macronutrient calculator is already ranking on Google on the first page, and we've only had it up for a week and a half. So now what we're hoping is that anybody that searches for a macronutrient calculator online falls into Mind Pumps into our network and now gets to read all the other free content that's attached to that. That's what a pillar page is for, and learn about what we're trying to talk about. So it's really providing a free service for all of you that listen. If you haven't already figured out how to intuitive eat, if you haven't already figured out your maintenance calories, it's more so to capture in new leads from people that have never heard of Mind Pump.
It's a good start. You know, they are generalizations, but they're better than no generalization.
Yeah, no guidance.
There's no guidance. So you start with the recommendation, but then you have a lot of work to do on your own. But at least you have a place to start. That's really what it's all about. But that you're not done. You're definitely not done there. It's just, you know, for somebody that has no idea.
Which, by the way, if you read the pillar page, you cover all that.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of content in there and stuff that you can read. And that's
it's not just about the formula.
No, not at all.
Next question is from Wrigley Bear. I do rock climbing and American Ninja Warrior training for pretty much all of my exercises, but listening to your podcast has got me considering adding resistance training to the mix. How can I add it in a way that supplements my performance?
You don't need to do much. If you're doing a lot of, you know, this took me a little while to figure out, because most of my clients were everyday average people. Mm-hmm. So there was a small percentage of like really hardcore fitness enthusiasts that would hire me. But when they did, you know, I'd have people who like are competitive cyclists, and they love to do these 100-mile races or these marathon runners, or, you know, I have clients who played tennis 5 days a week because they loved it so much. And so then what I would do is I would try to add resistance training. I'd say, okay, train with me 2 days a week or 3 days a week with weights. And their performance would suffer because they were already doing so much that I added too much resistance training. Mm-hmm. So I started to really figure out that really the way to benefit these people with resistance training when they're doing that much activity is to just do a little bit. Mm-hmm. So no joke.
Yeah, 2 days a week tops.
Usually 1 day a week. I mean, if you're doing 4 days a week or more of this American Ninja Warrior type training, which is pretty,
intensive.
It's pretty intensive. 1 day a week of weights. And you know what you should do when you go to the gym? Four or five exercises. Strength. You know, focus on strength.
Base layer type strength exercises.
That's it. Compound movements. You know, I would do squatting or deadlifting, some kind of a row, because you're getting lots of pull-ups already probably, some kind of an overhead press, maybe one other exercise. If you want to add anything else, I would just add priming mobility movements, and you're going to be great. You'll be kicking out.
This is my brother-in-law, Tom, his Instagram. I'm going to blow his Instagram up right now just to mess with him because he doesn't listen to the show. So it's TVR is me, right? All one word. So TVR is me, and he's a like hardcore downhill mountain biking guy. I mean, he tracks every mile, his elevation change. He's training multiple times a week.
He takes it super serious.
Very, very serious. And he's hardcore about it. And he's lost a ton of weight in the last, year and a half of him. And he's been doing this now for years, but he's really, because he's gotten so aggressive about his training, he's lost a ton of weight. And I've told him, I said, hey, I know you're getting really lean and stuff like that, but you'd really, benefit from a little bit of strength training added in there. And, maybe me helping and tweaking your diet. So I had him start tracking his diet, and he was averaging 30 to 50 grams of protein a day and not strength training. And I was telling him that he's probably lost a ton of muscle from what he's doing. And he was like, oh, we got in this debate back and forth. I said, listen, this is what all I want you to do. I want you to try and hit your grams of protein close to your body weight. So if you weigh at 150, something like that, get somewhere between 125 to 145 in that range. Try and hit that every single day for your protein intake. And then I want you to follow MAPS Anabolic 1 day a week. 1 day a week, I want you to follow that. And he calls it Muscle Mondays. He does it on Monday. It's his thing right now. But he's been doing it now for, I want to say, a month or 2 months. So if you're listening right now and you're like a hardcore sport outdoor type person, but you're trying to also integrate that, he's a cool person to kind of follow, because what I love about Tom is he you could tell him to follow something. He's got kind of that engineer mind.
He'll just do it.
Yeah, he's doing it to a T, and so he's been, and he's super blown away. He's like, dude, I can't believe, and he's now really starting to see it translate into his downhill mountain biking stuff. He's like, bro, I'm blowing by everybody going uphill now way more than I ever was before.
Yeah.
Just from one day of training.
I mean, most athletes used to have that fear. It was the muscle bound kind of fear where it was going to restrict all their skill on the field, especially in baseball. And then you started to see that if you incorporate your skills training at a high level, consistently in conjunction with strength training, it's just going to enhance it, but it's the right dose.
Right.
And so, if that's something that's your priority, you're going to prioritize your skills training training your sports-specific way of providing activity, the strength part of it is supplemental to really then feed into what you're already doing.
I love this conversation, too, because it highlights – we're talking about an extreme person, right? But it really highlights part of why so many people get trapped in plateaus and why they don't see the results they want, because everybody thinks that more is better. There is the right dose. And it doesn't take as much as so many people think it is. And the harder you work and the more you put in doesn't necessarily translate into more results.
Dude, in the gym. I had a huge debate years ago when I was training hard in jiu-jitsu, and the guys in there would ask me about resistance training because obviously I was a trainer. And I remember telling them, like, hey, just lift some weights and watch what happens. They're like, well, I do jiu-jitsu 5 or 6 days a week and this and that. And I said, no. Go to the gym. Do 3 exercises. That's it. 3 sets of each. 5 reps. Don't go to failure, but lift kind of heavy. Just do that and watch what happens. And then they would say, well, that's nothing. That's not going to do anything. I mean, if I'm going to lift weights, I need to go at least 3 or 4 days a week in order to do it. I said, no. 1 day a week, 3 exercises. Do that for the next month and then report back to me. All of them were sold. At the end of the month, they were all like, I can't believe the improvement in my technique and my stability and my strength just from doing that. Resistance training is incredibly moldable to fit any context, and the context is what matters. If you're training like crazy doing a bunch of stuff, you got to just add a little bit. Yeah. That's all you got
to
do.
I do have to make the point though too that the sports that have off seasons are smart. And for the reason being, like, why we cycle through different programming and we train our body in different ways, because then it translates and it fills those gaps when you come back to your regular type of training that are just promoting very specific things. So it might be something to consider, a few months of training just specifically resistance training, and then cycle back into your regular routine.
Next question is from Nick Zanais. If you see people participating in very poor programming, and you are not a trainer but very well educated in fitness, should you say anything?
I thought this was a funny question.
I know. Yeah. You know what, dude? Here's the deal.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, you're not going to change anybody.
No, unless you see, I could see, if you're like, oh my gosh, that person's about to hurt themselves, and you feel a responsibility to prevent them from dropping something on their head or falling off of a physio ball. Maybe, because that might,
But they're an adult.
Mess with your psyche a little bit, or not your psyche, but your conscious, I should say. But otherwise, you ain't helping them. Nobody takes unsolicited advice.
Not only that.
Nobody does. Yes,
but it's extremely arrogant of us to think that we know that the programming is bad. I mean, I consider everybody in this room an expert fitness programmer, right? But if I see somebody doing something that doesn't fall in line with maybe one of the programs that we created, do I think that they're doing terrible programming? I don't know what the fuck their goal is.
Dude,
they could be doing something that is very specific to what they're trying to achieve, and I don't know that, and so I'm very careful. And I used to make this mistake, because for sure I was this kid in my early 20s.
Oh, me too.
All excited. I had all this newfound knowledge. Yeah. Couldn't wait to tell everybody about it.
Can't wait to enlighten everybody.
Yes, exactly.
You're not bicep curling with 1 foot off the
ground? And I would present it just like this, too. I'm out to save the world. I'm going to help this person. Like, they're terrible programming. I'm here to save you with the good programming. Like, it was like that. But the reality of it is that was extremely pompous of me. No, I have no clue what this person is really trying to achieve or what their desired outcome is. And it's silly to me to think that I know better just by watching them work out.
I got to the point where I actually developed a way of trying to give people advice, because I always thought I could help you. I can help them. So one thing I would do is I'd walk it in between their sets. I'd be like, hey, what are you working on right now?
What are you working on today?
Yeah, I'm doing, shoulder press. Oh, that's awesome. You mind if I show you a different way to do it? And I would show them the different way.
I hated guys like you.
I would hate me too. Nobody takes unsolicited advice. It's like watching an obese person get a salad and put ranch dressing on it, and then you walk up to them, Mr. Trainer, hey, I know you're trying to lose weight right now, but did you know that dressing's about 600 calories? I bet if you took it off.
You know where it's going to go? Right here.
Yeah. That person's going to look at you and be like, fuck you. Get out of my face. Yeah. I'm not listening to you. People don't take advice like that. They have to be open to taking advice. And so usually that comes in the form of a question they ask you. Be the good example. You're not going to convert everybody. You're not going to fix the world. It's just not going to happen. And oftentimes, and this is what really got me to the point to realize that, oftentimes I realized that I would prevent the person from asking me a question because I was already going over there and hammering them. And so it took them longer.
Well, maybe to do the right move thing. Is to do that exercise right next to them and just, hey, oh, cool. I'm doing those too.
Yeah.
But better, right?
But better.
Yeah. The only way I see that is, you know, Sal, you kind of alluded to it a little bit, is that if I saw like a 65-year-old lady who's doing like lat pull downs and it's like jerking her shoulders around all over the place, and like, I'm going to come over and like say, hey, can I help you with that? Like, let me show you. And then I would probably show her something. That's about it. And why? Because one, I know that women are a lot more receptive to hearing like advice.
Way
like that.
More.
Yeah. Right.
Men are the worst.
And at that age, at 65 years old, she really could potentially hurt herself and is probably going to be very grateful that some young fitness guy comes over and helps her out. Mm. That's probably
Especially a handsome one.
Yeah. Right. So I think all the rest of the people out there are probably not going to receive your advice very
well. I'll never forget, I went up to this guy who was doing you guys probably know who this guy was. He would wear this white belt and he'd load up the shrug machine and the hammer strength shrug machine with every plate in the gym.
Yeah.
He'd grab the handles.
Do the chicken shrugs.
And he would just twitch. You know, his reps were like that. And I remember, you know, I was like, I'm going to go help this dude because he's not doing anything. So I walked over to him, like, hey, you know, if you move through a full range of motion, I tried to ask, you know, talk science. It works the muscle fibers better, this and that. And he looked at me. So this was his reply. He looked at me and he goes, you don't look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he went back to doing his lift. And I was like, wow.
Served.
Yeah. That didn't work very well.
Oh, I got burned.
Yeah. Look, check this out. Mind Pump is recorded on video as well as audio. Come check us out on YouTube. The Mind Pump Podcast. You'll love it, I promise. Also, we have lots of free guides on everything from building certain body parts to burning body fat to nutrition. You can find all those guides at mindpumpfree.com. And finally, you can find all of us on Instagram. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump Sal, and Adam is at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.